Please open your Bibles, if you have one, to Malachi chapter 2, which you'll find on page 961 of the Church Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, it's really good to have one, so please feel no embarrassment in putting a hand in the air and someone will bring one to you. We're on a short series in this book of Malachi, a reminder that it's a weighty message, an oracle from the Lord. It's made up of kind of six conversations, six disputes between the Lord and his people. And we come to the third of those disputes in chapter 2 and verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and you wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. You ask, why? It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. This is God's word to us this evening. And please open your Bibles again to Malachi chapter 2, which you'll find on page 961, if you've shut your Bibles, 961. And with that open in front of us, let's pray and ask for God's help. Our God and our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your word, the Bible. Father, some bits are a joy to read, and some bits we find hard to read. But we thank you that they are all intended that we might grow in our sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And we ask that that might take place in us this evening, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Families have character traits, don't they? So if I was to, some of my kids are here tonight, but if I was to kind of bring us all up here, or you were to spend some time with my kids, you'd notice that there are kind of similarities perhaps in looks. But actually, if you were to spend time with us, you'll notice that there's similarities in character traits as well. So we do things the same. They'd pick up some of my bad habits or some of the words that I use. That's what happens in families. Now, this evening, I want to talk about belonging to the family of faith, as it were. What I want to call tonight the family of faithfulness. It's a family that we become part of as we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The family of faithfulness. And this family that we join through faith in Jesus Christ is a family that is to be marked out by our faithfulness to one another. Now, when I use the word faithfulness, what I'm talking about is really loyalty. It's that sticking with one another. It is that persevering with one another. It is commitment. The family of faithfulness, of loyalty. Now, why is it the family of faithfulness? Well, first of all, we've spent a lot of time this evening singing about the Father of faithfulness, haven't we? The Father of this family who makes promises and keeps promises. He is the Father who is totally faithful to his people. If you've been with us over these Sunday evenings, we've seen that the Lord, capital letters in our Bible, the Lord is the faithful, promise-making, promise-keeping God who loves his people. I have loved you. You see that? Just look at chapter 1 and verse 2. I have loved you. That is a mark of our faithful God. So we have a faithful father in this family, but we also have a faithful older brother in this family of faithfulness. And that brother, the older brother, is the Lord Jesus. He is the faithful one. He was faithful as a human. He was faithful in every way that we should be but aren't. And it is through this older brother that we become part of the family of faithfulness. And then that comes to us if we're followers of Jesus this evening. We have a place in this family of faithfulness. And as we become part of this family of faithfulness, we are called to faithfulness. We are called to display the family likeness, to display the character traits of our father and of our older brother. We are called to be faithful, to be loyal, to be committed both to the Lord and to one another. Think of the family like a sponge. And you know what happens when you take a sponge and you fill it with water? It kind of runs through it until it's just pouring out the edges. That's what faithfulness should be like in the family of God. It should be soaking through every area of our life together. Every relationship we have, every act that we do should be soaked in faithfulness because we are now part of the family of faithfulness. And when we act unfaithfully, and here's the key bit for us understanding as we come to Malachi. As we act unfaithfully, whether that's we act unfaithfully to one another, disloyally to one another, or we act unfaithfully to God, it's all connected. So if I act unfaithfully to one of you, I'm actually acting unfaithfully to the Lord. And if I act unfaithfully to the Lord, I'm actually acting unfaithfully to you. See the connection? That is the family of faithfulness. Faithfulness matters to the Lord, and faithfulness should matter to us. And that's really the subject that the Lord takes up with his people in this next section that we've got of Malachi. So have a look at verse 10. Have we not all one father? So here's this one family, the family of faithfulness. Did not one God create us? He's made us his people. And look what they're doing. Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Literally, they are acting, some kind of old school English translations put it, they are acting treacherously. That's a brilliant word. I don't use it very much. But it's a word that portrays what they're doing. They are acting unfaithfully and disloyally to one another. And as a result, and you have to kind of unpick verse 10 to see it, but as a result, they're profaning the covenant of God. They are profaning, they are dishonoring God. They are being unfaithful to God. And so look at verse 16. Verse 16 is really the summary of the third weighty message that the Lord has for his people. He says, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. And I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garment, says the Lord. The Lord's message for his people this evening is this. I could sum it up like this. I hate unfaithfulness. I hate unfaithfulness. And so the Lord, as he sees his people's battle with unfaithfulness, a battle that if you are a follower of Jesus here this evening, you'll be well aware of. As he sees that, he gives his people a loving instruction, a loving warning. And you see that at the end of verse 16. And here it is. He says, so guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. That is his message. That is his instruction for his specially loved people who are battling with unfaithfulness. And that is his message for us this evening. His message for us is guard yourselves against unfaithfulness. Guard yourselves against unfaithfulness. Now think for a moment about guarding something. To guard something means that you take deliberate action to defend it. So think about going to Buckingham Palace. I don't know if you've been there recently, but everyone knows the guards that sort of stand outside really still for a while, and then when they get stiff legs, they go for that funny walk up and down. What are they doing? Okay, yeah, you might question what they're doing, but they're guarding. They are guarding the palace. They are guarding the queen. They are keeping trouble out. They are deliberately defending the palace, although they don't look like it, but they are. That's their job. Or you wander down a little bit further down Buckingham Palace and you get to the gate where there's those armed police. What are they doing? They are guarding. They are keeping trouble out. And that's what this word from the Lord here means. He says, guard, deliberately defend what? Your spirits. Do you see that? Deliberately defend your spirit. Now, the word spirit, we might sometimes use the word heart. It's the kind of the bit of you that's you. It's the bit that makes you tick. It's the bit that makes you make decisions about all sorts of things in life. And the Lord is giving a message to people who battle with unfaithfulness. And he is saying, deliberately guard your heart. Deliberately guard your heart. Now, why is he saying that? He's saying that because unfaithfulness starts in here, not out there. See, if you're anything like me, I am brilliant at blaming my circumstances for my sin. I am brilliant at blaming stuff out there for my unfaithfulness. I don't know, you like that too? You know, so when I'm sitting in a traffic jam and I'm fuming, I wouldn't be this angry if this traffic wasn't here. It's the traffic's fault. Sorry, kids, but if I ever get angry with you, whose fault is it? Well, if they weren't behaving like that, you know, it's their fault. It's outside of me. No, the Lord says, guard your spirits. Why? Because unfaithfulness starts in here. That is where the seeds of unfaithful actions come from, either being unfaithful to the Lord or unfaithful to one another. And so he says, so guard yourself in your spirits. The Lord is saying, guard your heart. It is a deliberate, defensive action. If you want to think of it, Dean, our hearts this week need those funny men standing there who are wandering up and down. Why? Because we're to guard our spirits. We're to guard what's going on in here because he does not want us to be unfaithful because he hates unfaithfulness. He wants us to live as members of his family being faithful. And as we get into the details of this weighty message from the Lord, what we're going to see is that there's three areas, and they're all kind of connected, but I'm going to try and put it into three areas, that we are to be guarding ourselves against unfaithfulness. And the first of those is in verses 10 to 12. It says, guard yourself against unfaithfulness to the Lord. Now, you're going to have to work quite hard at this, all right, especially if you know me, but I want you to imagine for a moment that I loved gardening. Okay, and in my garden, which is probably not much bigger than this, I have grown some of the most spectacular grass that you can imagine. And every blade is right, and every blade is standing nice and tall, and it's nice and green. And I'm very pleased with my grass. I love my grass. And so I go into the family, my five children, and I say, I would really love it if you didn't walk on the grass. And in fact, I've put a command at the edge of the grass. Please do not stand on the grass that I love. Please don't do it. For Daddy's sake, please don't walk on the grass. Now imagine that one of my children went out one day and was looking at this grass with the ball in their hand, thinking, I really want a game of football. I really want to play football right now. But there's a command that says I shouldn't. And so they take their ball and they go on the grass, and my lovely grass is squashed because they've disobeyed my command. They've been unfaithful to the command. But actually, here's the point that I'm trying to make. They've actually been unfaithful to me because I'm the one who made the command. And that's what's going on with the people here. Can you see this? The problem that we're seeing amongst God's people is that they were being unfaithful to the Lord by disobeying one of his commands. You see, it's not just when a kid walks on the grass and I've asked them not to. It's not just that they're disobeying the command. They're being unfaithful to me because I made the command. And the Lord has given a command to his people. And in verse 11, what are they doing? They're looking at the command, the don't walk on the grass sign, and they are just saying, no, I want to get on that grass and I want to play football. Look at what they're doing in verse 11. They are marrying the daughters of a foreign god. Now that might seem totally alien to us, and you're thinking, man, what is that about? But it means that they were marrying people from other nations who worshipped other gods. That's what the command was about. And that is something that the Lord had very clearly told his people that they must not do. You must not marry people from other nations who worship other gods. It's as if they've looked at the sign and they've gone ahead and they've just ran all over the grass. They have followed their lusts, not their loyalty. That is what they've done. They've disobeyed the Lord. And that is how they've been unfaithful to him. Just by blatant disobedience. Now let's pause there for a moment. Before we look at that command anymore, let's pause there. Because how commonly is that our battle? How commonly is it that we, knowing the commands of the Lord, blatantly choose to disobey him? Because we follow our lusts and not our loyalty. Do you see that? We choose to disobey the Lord because we want to follow what our desires say. Whether that's in a relationship, whether that's because we want to watch something or read something that we shouldn't, whether that's because we want to spend our money in a certain way or use our time in a certain way, whether it's the amount we drink, whether it's we obey our parents or choose not to disobey our parents, we are all, I'm sure, guilty of battling in this way. We are unfaithful to the Lord by blatantly disobeying what he's told us to do. It's a battle that we need to guard ourselves against, being unfaithful to the Lord by disobeying his commands. We follow our lusts and not our loyalty. But I want to push this a bit, okay, if I can. And you're probably going to need to work hard with me for a moment. But I want to push this because actually there's more to this command. This command that the Lord gives about marrying foreign gods actually has something to teach us as well. See, the command itself is the Lord's gracious provision to protect them against disloyalty. That's what this command is about. Let me try and explain that. Okay, so he gives them a command, and it's not just that he's a big spoil sport, it's that this command is meant to help them and preserve them from being disloyal to him. So first, it's a command that helps them because, actually, do you know what? If they're marrying these women of foreign gods, so women from other nations who worship other gods, then what they're doing is they are mixing and uniting them, who God has set apart and who he has specially loved, and he's made them his people, and he's mixing them with people who are not. This is a really silly example, but it might work. I don't know. When I was growing up, I remember that there was two very distinct sets of cutlery in our house. There was the special cutlery that came out when guests arrived, and then there was the common cutlery that we had to use every day. And there was special plates, and then there was common plates. And if you know, when you were called to do the drying up on a Sunday, you ever put one of the special plates back in the common cupboard, you would be in trouble. Why? Because you're mixing the special stuff with the common stuff. And you know what? That's what the people were doing. You're treating the special stuff, the special plates that you get out for the guests, like they don't matter, like they're just the everyday plates. And that's what the people they were doing. They were taking themselves, who were loved by the Lord, who were set apart by the Lord, who had a faithful and committed God, and they were treating it as if it didn't matter. That's what they were doing. And as a result, they are insulting the Lord. By doing this, they're insulting the Lord. They are saying to the Lord, we're disloyal to you. Because they were mixing themselves. They were treating the Lord, who at great cost, at great expense, had loved them and cared for them and rescued them and saved them. So it's a command, you see, that preserves their loyalty. But it's also a command that preserves their loyalty because he knows, the Lord knows, and if you've read the stories of the Bible, you will know as well, that over and over again, marrying the daughters of foreign gods led his people astray. Let me just pick one example from Scripture. King Solomon. King Solomon was the wisest king who's ever lived. There was no one like him other than the Lord Jesus, who is greater than Solomon. But no human king other than Solomon has been as wise as he did. And do you know what he did? He married daughters of foreign gods over and over and over and over again. And what did they do? What happened? His heart was led astray. His heart had divided loyalties. He started to worship and be loyal to other gods as well as the Lord, is what he thought. I'll be loyal to everyone, he says. And it's the same. It's the same problem for us if we're followers of Jesus. It's not just that we dishonor the Lord by blatantly disobeying his commands, but his commands are there to help us preserve our loyalty to him. And even this command about marrying the daughters of foreign gods, has something to teach us about being loyal to the Lord. We've been set apart. If you are a follower of Jesus here this evening, you have been specially loved and set apart by him. We're not special, but he has set us apart as special. We're the people of God. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to him. And we must guard ourselves against getting so tied up and so united with things or with people that do not belong to God that we insult God by saying, well, we don't think you're making us very special matters at all. Now, what does all that mean for us? Well, we must guard ourselves against getting so tied up in other things that we have divided loyalties. God, it's really important. God is not saying in this passage, which I'm sure you've all worked out, but God is not saying that we can't marry people from other countries. That's not what he's saying, because actually there's a beautiful diversity in the people of God from every tribe and tongue and language and nation. He's not saying that, but I think it does have an impact, this command about marrying the daughters of foreign gods, especially for some of us if we're at the stage in life where we're thinking about who to marry or who to go out with or all those kind of questions. It's an important thing to think about. And I also think it has wider application, because I'm sure, like me, you feel the battle with divided loyalty every day. Maybe it's just because I'm an obsessive, but my heart very quickly gets drawn to be consumed by other things and things that will pull my loyalty away, things that will go vie for my faithfulness rather than giving my faithfulness fully to the Lord. It could be a friendship. It could be a family issue. It could be education. It could be work. It could be pursuit of happiness. It could be our fitness. It could be our comfort. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We have hearts that need guarding because they're prone to divided loyalty. And actually, if you look closely at verse 12, which is why God takes it so seriously, divided loyalty is as good as total disloyalty. Have a look at verse 12. He says, as for the man who does this, whoever he may be, may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Here is someone, in this account anyway, who is got a foot in two camps. They've married the daughter of a foreign god, and they're having a bit of loyalty there, but they're still bringing their offerings to the Lord. They're still coming to church. Here is someone who's blatantly disobeying God and yet still carries on as if everything's okay. We've got to take the warning seriously. The Lord says to his people, I hate unfaithfulness. I hate unfaithfulness. Secondly, we're to guard ourselves against unfaithfulness in marriage. And that's where the passage moves on to. Now, I recognize that some of us here aren't married, but please don't switch off. I recognize that there's some of us here who aren't married but would love to be. Again, please don't switch off for a moment. And I recognize that there's some of us here who have very real and very painful experiences of divorce and unfaithfulness. But can I say this evening that whatever our relationship is to marriage, whatever our experience of it is, that actually the challenge of the Lord here is an important one for us all to hear. Because tied up in marriage, its institution, not our experience of it, but in its institution, in God as he allowed it, there is the most powerful picture we have on earth of God's faithfulness to his people. Just look with me at verse 14. You see, here's the problem. They're going to the altar, they're weeping and the wailing, the Lord is disciplining them. Why? Verse 14, because you have broken faith with her, the wife of your youth. They are being unfaithful in their marriages. Now, it's probably connected with the bits we've just read. They were probably divorcing their old wives in order to hook up with these foreign daughters of foreign gods. That's probably what they were doing, which is an ugly thing. But they're being unfaithful in marriage. And marriage is a good gift from God. And it is intended to be for the faithful union of one man and one woman for life. That is what God gave it to society for, to humans for. It's a gift that puts on display most clearly the faithful relationship that the Lord has with his people. That sticking with one another through thick and thin. That love, that oneness. And it won't surprise us, will it, to know that the New Testament picks up on this imagery of marriage to talk about the relationship between our Lord Jesus and us, his church. Who is the faithful husband? It's the Lord Jesus. Who is the one who will never cheat on his bride? Who is the one who will never cheat on us, who will never be unfaithful to us, who will never walk out on us, who will never divorce us for a better model? Who is it? It's Jesus. The faithful Lord calls for his people to be faithful in marriage. He calls for us to guard our hearts, to guard our spirits against the seeds of unfaithfulness. Let me just apply that particularly to those of us that are married for a moment. How do we guard our hearts? How do we set these men up, as it were, kind of standing at our hearts against the seeds of unfaithfulness? Well, we need to guard our hearts against those seeds that are planted when you look lustfully at another man or another woman. You need to guard our hearts against those seeds of discontentment. Well, if only he did this or did that, it would be much better. We've got to guard our hearts against discontentment. We've got to guard our hearts against building relationships with others that are too close. That relationship at work, you know, it just started as a friendly conversation. We just a smile across the desk and now we're having coffee together and I seem to confide in them more than I confide in my wife. Guard your hearts against the seeds of unfaithfulness. That's what the Lord is saying to his people. We've got to guard ourselves against failure to take positive steps. In marriage, it's not enough to simply sit back and defend the problems. Actually, no, we've got to be proactive in building good and positive relationships. And actually, the seeds of unfaithfulness come when we're not failing to be positive in our marriages. Failure to communicate, failure to engage with one another physically, failure to deal with anger before you go to bed. All of these things are ways that we guard ourselves against unfaithfulness in our marriage. Faithfulness matters to God. And as members of the family of faithfulness, he wants faithfulness to soak down into all areas of our life, including marriage. Marriage is his God-given picture to this world of his relationship to his people. And as part of his family of faithfulness, we have the privilege of putting that on display to the world. And that's why he calls us to faithfulness. And actually, there's more to it in verse 15. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and in spirit? They are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. Do you know what? It's true. It is true that as members of the family of faithfulness, our faithfulness to the Lord and to one another can and does have an impact on others. And actually, if we're married, that is especially true for our children. That is what it's saying here. He was seeking godly offspring. You know, why does the Lord unite people in marriage? Why does he give us this picture that he wants lived out before the world and before one another? Because he longs for a new generation of people to grow up and be faithful to him. He longs for a godly offspring who will join the family of faithfulness through the faithful Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in God's great way of working, and it's a mystery really, but he chooses to use people, the faithfulness of his own people, to model that to the next generation. Now, whilst it is true that faithful parents can have unfaithful children, and unfaithful parents can have faithful children, because it's all a work of grace, we mustn't miss the reminder here that God wants us to know that our faithfulness can have an impact on another generation. And that's why he calls for us. Look at verse 15, the end of verse 15. That's why he calls for us to guard our spirits and do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Guard your marriage if you're married. So if you are married, please guard your marriage as I must do myself. We must guard it against unfaithfulness with the help of our faithful Lord Jesus. And if you're not married and you're part of this family of faithfulness, please pray for those who are married. Pray for them, because actually it's in a bigger context, which is that this is something that puts the gospel of our Lord Jesus on display to the world. And we must be praying about marriages for his sake, for his name's sake. And if you're not married tonight, then please take great joy that in our Lord Jesus we have the most faithful and loving husband ever, the husband of his bride, the church. And if tonight you are wrestling perhaps with sins of unfaithfulness, then please take assurance tonight from the faithful Lord Jesus. Just look with me at verse 12. It's powerful language. But what do those who have acted unfaithfully deserve? To be cut off from God's people. But actually our faithful Lord Jesus is the one who was cut off, it says in Isaiah, from the land of the living, so that unfaithful people like us could be brought into the family of faithfulness. Or perhaps this evening, if you feel damaged by people's unfaithfulness to you, then I point you to the Lord Jesus, the one who will never let you down, the one who will never be disloyal to you. He is a faithful husband, and he is a faithful God. And if this evening we grieve over children who have been unfaithful to the Lord's, then let us keep guarding our own faithfulness, and let us keep praying for the grace of our Lord Jesus to bring those back to him and come into the family of faithfulness through the Lord Jesus. And then thirdly, and much more briefly, we must guard ourselves against faithfulness to one another. Let me take you back to verse 16. Verse 16 says, "I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, says the Lord Almighty." Violence towards each other. Now, I haven't seen much of that in EEFC. I haven't seen too many fights that I've had to break up, which is a good thing. But actually, it's a bit of a confusing verse, because it could be talking about violence. If you look at your footnote there, you've got a violence towards their wives. So maybe this whole messy divorce thing was a violent thing as well. But actually, I think taking it at face value, it seems that they were being unfaithful to one another by being violent towards one another. And as the Lord Jesus says, actually, violence doesn't have to be a physical violence. It's a violence of the heart. It's an anger. We can do so much violent harm to one another. We can be disloyal to one another by our words, by our lying, by our cheating one another. And actually, we've got to guard ourselves against unfaithfulness in the family environment. So that means that we've got to squash those seeds of unfaithfulness to one another. We've got to squash that anger. We've got to squash the envy. We've got to squash the pride. We've got to squash the temptation to gossip. Because the Lord loves faithfulness, and he wants us to be faithful to one another. The Lord lovingly instructs us tonight to guard ourselves against unfaithfulness. And I want to finish, really, because I'm sure, like me, as I've studied this week, it's made me feel pretty uncomfortable, because I'm well aware of my own heart. And I want to finish really by just pointing us back to our faithful Lord Jesus. Not because I want to diminish the warnings, that, you know, the Lord really is saying to us this evening, I take faithfulness seriously and I want you to be faithful as well. That is what he's saying to us. But he does it within the context of our faithful older brother, the Lord Jesus. See, it's very easy to look at a list like that and to feel hopeless. You know, like, well, I'm never going to do this faithfulness thing. It's very easy to look at a list like that and think, man, I just keep letting God down because over and over again, I'm just unfaithful. But I just want to read again these words from Isaiah 53. See, the Lord takes unfaithfulness very seriously. But it says in Isaiah 53, Jesus was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. All my unfaithfulness has been laid on him. He gives me a place in the faithful family. And as Galatians 6 says, and this is why I was really helped this week, Galatians 6, do you know what one of the fruit of the Spirit is? Faithfulness. He gives us his Spirit. He gives us a place in his family, and then the Lord Jesus gives us his Spirit, who works faithfulness in us. And so this evening, as we think about guarding our hearts, guarding ourselves, we do so with the enabling help of the Spirit, who works faithfulness in us. So let's guard ourselves this week with the help of Jesus.